John, Rebecca, and Mike, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebecca, Artsleaf has a pretty extensive history, and it can trace its origins back to the 1920s. Tell me how the organization got its start and what its mission is today.
Sure. The Taft family had a prescient idea that the arts and culture in Cincinnati are the things that would put Cincinnati on the map and make it a great city to live in. So they made a challenge to the city. They said, we will give $1 million if the city can raise $2 million. And you have to think, like, in the 20s, that's like
that's a
$33 million today. Yeah. And the city did it quickly. And that started what was called then the Cincinnati Institute of Fine Arts. And that was supporting the Art Museum and the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra and a few other organizations. And then over time, it turned into the Fine Arts Fund. We became the first United Arts Fund in the country, the first to go to the community year after year and ask them to make gifts to support the arts, and eventually expanded to 8 organizations and then to even more. And now we support more than 100 arts organizations that make Cincinnati amazing.
So it was known as the Fine Arts Fund up until 2010. Is that right, Rebecca?
That's right.
Why did it change its name to Artsleaf?
That's a great question. One of the things that happened is we did some research, and out of our nearly 40,000 donors, we found that many of them weren't necessarily engaged with the arts organizations that we supported. And when we wanted to find new messages that would resonate with them and encourage them to support the arts, we found that they believed two main things. They believed that the arts create a more connected community and a more vibrant economy. And they also, unfortunately, had a little bit of a negative reaction to the idea of fine arts. They thought, oh, that must mean it's expensive, it's not for me, it's stuffy. And so we wanted to make sure that our name reflected the broad spectrum of arts in our community and how accessible it is to everyone. And that's why we went with Artsleaf.
You know what I love about the Artsleaf is the idea that, you know, you drop a pebble into some water and you see the ripple effect. And, you know, and so much of that is like what the arts mean to a community. When, you know, you have a great performance with the orchestra or opera, or you go to a great exhibit at the art museum, and it creates this ripple effect. It changes you and changes those people around you, and you pass it on. It makes our community, you know, that much more of a rich and engaged place to live.
And beyond the performances, there are organizations that have ripple effects in their own communities. Manifest Gallery in East Walnut Hills is a great example of a small art gallery that set up shop, and ultimately that ripple effect of them deciding to call that street home has resulted in additional shops and a coffee shop, and Molly Wellman's new place is located out there, and they've since tripled their floor space. So I mean, that ripple effect can definitely be both organizations and performances in the way that it
I mean, look at Over the Rhine, for Pete's sake.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
holy
yeah.
cow.
That, in fact, Rebecca, was the name of the 2008 study, the Arts Ripple Effect, wasn't it?
That's right.
What was that study? I mean, we started to touch on it some, but talk some more about what that study found out.
It was a framing science study. So we wanted to go and say, you know, what are the arguments that we think will get people to support the arts? And we sort of road tested a lot of the traditional ones and found that if we positioned the arts too much as just a personal entertainment, then people would sort of say, well, that's nice that you like Shakespeare, but I don't, so I shouldn't have to pay for it, right? It became this sort of broccoli thing where it's like, well, I'd rather get my iron from a red steak. But if we started to talk about the arts as something vital, something more like oxygen that fuels the community, then everybody could get on board. And that's a lot of what's in the Arts Ripple Effect.
Micah, that's true. The Artsleaf covers a wide variety of organizations. Cincinnati Public Radio, which includes WVXU and WGUC, gets support from Artsleaf. The Symphony Orchestra, the Pops Orchestra do as well. How many organizations does Artsleaf help support, and who are some of the others?
Financially, we support over 100 different organizations every year. So we have 40
impact grantees,
43 impact grant recipients. So those would be the organizations that most people would probably think of when they think of the arts, the symphony, the ballet, the opera. We have another 70 or so that are supported annually through a project grants process. And those tend to be smaller organizations that you might not have heard of. Pones Inc. is a great example. They're sort of a guerrilla dance theater movement troupe. Manifest Gallery is one of our impact recipients on the smaller side. My Nose Turns Red. the farther out you go, we're supporting organizations like the Oxford Community Arts Center in Oxford, Ohio. We're supporting My Nose Turns Red Theater, which is in Kennedy Heights. We're supporting the Covedale, the Cincinnati Landmark Productions folks out on the west side of town, who used to manage the Showboat, but now just manage the Covedale and are about to open a brand new Warsaw Federal Incline Public Theater space out there. So they'll actually be managing two theaters in the Price Hill neighborhood. So we're across northern Kentucky. We officially serve the 15-county region, but the vast majority of organizations are in the eight counties within, you know, four southwest Ohio, three northern Kentucky, and one in southeast Indiana.
So when we talk about the organizations that ArtsWave supports, it's all kinds of different types of art.
Absolutely.
Dance, theater, visual, mm-hmm. long list, isn't it, Rebecca?
Yeah, I mean, everything from Elements Hip Hop Center for Youth, which is in Over the Rhine and gives kids an opportunity to for self-expression through creating their own spoken word and hip hop dance, to things like Visionaries and Voices, which helps visual artists who have disabilities, all the way up to, you know, our premier arts institutions like the Pops Orchestra, like the Ballet, Playhouse in the Park, Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, Artworks.
Cincinnati.
That's right, My Cincinnati.
This is a wonderful string group in Price Hill that I'm very much associated with, and it's based on El Sistema, the music program in Venezuela, and it is transforming the lives of these kids in Price Hill. It's extraordinary. I get to work with these kids about once a year, and we'll be performing actually with them at the ArtsWave Sampler, and it's extraordinary. These young kids given an instrument for the first time, and to see how music not only is something that is, you know, very fulfilling and beautiful, but it also teaches self-discipline, teamwork, practice, love of beauty, and it's transforming the lives of these kids.
That's a great point, John. The music, the arts in general, are just so transformational. There's a lot of power in the arts, isn't there?
Really. One of my favorite quotes is that of Suzuki, the great violin pedagogue. You know, we've heard of the Suzuki method for violinists. Literally millions upon millions of kids who have learned violin by the Suzuki method. So Mr. Suzuki was asked, you know, why do you teach music? And he said, I don't teach music to create great musicians, because great musicians will always find their own way. I teach music to create good citizens. Mm. And at the root, the foundation of the arts experience is that sense of discipline, that sense of self-worth, that sense of expression that makes people better citizens, that helps us all live and work and play together in a real positive way.
You hear the list of organizations that ArtsWave supports, and it makes you realize, John, that we're very fortunate in Cincinnati to have such a vibrant arts scene. Now, there's the symphony, there's the Pops Orchestra, ballet, theater, museums. It's one of the things that makes us such a great city to live and work in, isn't it?
It's fantastic. And, you know, I think oftentimes as Cincinnatians, we begin to take it for granted. And for myself personally, I lived in Cincinnati from 1995 to 2006, and then moved to Canada for a chunk of time before I was asked to come back and lead the Pops. And coming back after 5 or 6 years to our city, you see it with different eyes, and you see what an extraordinary array of arts organizations we have, and of exceptional quality for a city our size. It is absolutely unbelievable. And so much of it, I believe, really comes from ArtsWave and that sense of that deep-seated engagement that happens in all walks of life here in the community.
Mike, what kind of impact is ArtsWave having on the community?
The direct impact is actually coming from the organizations. We support the organizations who are having the impact. So it's going to vary. I mean, as John was mentioning, My Cincinnati is a great example. My Cincinnati is not its own organization. It's actually a program of Price Hill Will, which is more of a social service agency in Price Hill. So Price Hill Will is dedicated to sort of bettering that community. And when Laura Jekyll came in and started the My Cincinnati program, she started with 8 kids. And now when they have the full orchestra, it's over 80. And there's still more knocking on the door to try and get into this, because the parents and the community and the teachers and the shop owners all start to see the kind of impact that one arts program can have on one particular neighborhood. So it's really the organizations that have the impact. And it can vary from children's education to the walkability of a street, the vibrancy of that particular neighborhood. It just varies, but you can see it in action all across the community.
I will speak up for ArtsWave, though, that there's some things we do behind the scenes, too. Convenings, bringing organizations together to share best practices and ideas. Mike actually is behind a lot of those programs. We help to match business volunteers to arts organizations so they can lend their expertise. We have a great board training program that helps people join arts boards. And we just help sort of make great connections that bring people together.
And, you know, I might add, in so many communities that have all sorts of arts organizations that I've attended and worked with, you find that it's almost siloed. You know, you go to one city or another, and, you know, the orchestra is doing their thing, the opera is doing their thing, and the art museum is doing their thing, and that chorus group there is doing their thing, and no one ever works together. And this is one of the things that is unique about ArtsWave here in this community. They are so encouraging about having arts organizations work together. And certainly, you know, we see this with the opera and May Festival Chorus and ballet, with Elements and with My Cincinnati, that... I don't think there's any other community where arts organizations across the board, visual, musical, performing arts, all work together so harmoniously. It's remarkable.
So ArtsWave was a focal point, a center point for arts in the community.
I think we serve as an umbrella, as a big tent that can gather everyone in, and then that gives artistic leaders the opportunity to connect and spark and come up with new ideas.
Rebecca, there are two key impacts that you talk about when you talk about ArtsWave, how it creates these two impacts at the economic level and the community level. Can you tell us some about those two impacts?
Sure. When we talk about economic vibrancy, we talk about a community that has a lot of different things going on. So at the street level, it's that idea of when the Covedale is open, there's more traffic on the street, there are more people visiting local businesses, it feels safer, it's more lively, it's a better place to live. At the broader level, we think that having a great orchestra like the Cincinnati Pops raises our national profile and helps people think of us as a destination city and a place to come. And then with connected community, part of it is that idea of having time together with family and friends. Macy's Art Sampler is a wonderful family event where parents and kids can connect through the arts. But it's also arts organizations giving people who would not normally share experiences the chance to be in the same room and have a conversation and share something together and find ways to build trust and connection across communities.
You know, I mean, in this world today that has become increasingly cocooning, where, you know, people find entertainment, you know, in the with their iPod in the palm of their hand, you know, you see this everywhere. You're walking in parks or, you know, wherever, and you see everyone kind of connected to these little devices. And it's the arts that take us away from there to rekindle those personal relationships that really makes life worth living.
Mm-hmm. I'll say something, John, that will get me in trouble. The arts are the real social media.
Right on. Okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah, sure, we can all agree on that. Mike, what specific kinds of things does ArtsWave do to support the arts in the Cincinnati area?
Certainly, in addition to the financial support that we're bringing to our impact recipients and through our grants program, as Rebecca's already mentioned, we do a lot of that sort of back office support, the networking, the convening of organizations that in other markets would never come together. We do have a couple of volunteer programs that we run. One is called Arts Business Connection that helps really augment existing volunteer programs within arts organizations. So it's a listserv if someone's interested in volunteering to slap wristbands on someone at a Contemporary Arts Center opening. They can go do that for a couple of hours and then stay for the event. The Children's Theater sometimes uses it to help augment their ushers. And it's a very simple program. You get the request. If you can do it, you contact the organization. And if you can't, you delete the email. So it's sort of no harm, no foul. Business Volunteers for the Arts is a national program that we're the local affiliate of. It's a program run out of Americans for the Arts in Washington, D.C. And that program matches business professionals with arts organizations to work on project-based initiatives. So if we have an accountant who is looking to volunteer with an arts, maybe a small theater company that needs to get everything off of all of the receipts and into QuickBooks, they can help them do that. And then, of course, the Broadway Bound program, which
Rebecca
already mentioned.
Yeah, you have to tell them about speed dating. Speed dating the arts.
Okay, I'll mention speed dating. And despite what others in my office might tell you, I have never actually speed dated. I have been happily married I've been happily married for 21 years.
Yeah,
congratulations.
He has a genius
that predates
for putting
speed
this together.
Our Broadway Bound program really recruits high potential employees. A lot of them are YP, but there are some who are empty nesters who maybe have just retired and really want to give back and have never thought about board service until then. So what we do is we bring them in. We basically recruit most of them over the summer. The first night of class, they have an opportunity to come in and see 30, 40 arts organizations who are all looking for new board members come in and do a 60-second elevator speech at the No Theater. They open the bar for us, so it's a rather relaxed setting. It's very informal, and it's a lot of fun, and we try to keep them to 60 seconds, although most of the organizations take about 2 minutes. And so that's sort of their first entree into meeting the arts organizations. And then after 4 weeks of very intense training on what it means to be a good trustee, we bring all of the arts organizations back together, and each one of the candidates gets to speed date with a scorecard in front of them about 16 to 18 different organizations. So they get 6 minutes at each station. They get to ask their questions. The arts organizations ask their questions, and they both fill out their scorecards. They turn them in at the end of the night, and then we kind of work our magic, and within usually 48 hours, we're able to reach out to all of our candidates to say, we are matching you with organization A, and it's not to place them on the board, it's to match them for an observership. So they're able to spend a couple of weeks to a couple of months going to board meetings and committee meetings, having breakfast or coffee with the artistic director and the board chair, just to really ask the really good questions. You know, it's speed dating. We're not getting them married the minute they walk out the door. We want them to have a few more dates before they commit. And usually by the time we get to about April, we have about a 95% success rate with people joining the boards of the organizations they were matched with.
And you do guarantee that it will be a happy relationship, right?
Absolutely. And if it's not, you can come back to us and we'll find you a new relationship. That's what we do.
Mike, ArtsWave raises a lot of money to support the arts in Cincinnati. How much did you raise last year?
Last year we raised just north of $12 million, and
wow,
our goal this year is $12.2 million.
So. We were last year. We did break our own record to become the largest ever amount raised for a community arts campaign in the country.
Okay, and you're expecting it to keep growing, I take it.
We hope so.
That's our
we
hope.
Certainly hope so.
And speaking of that, Mike, how is support for ArtsWave? Is it on an upward, is it on a growing trend?
Absolutely. And that's one of the other things, to go back to one of John's earlier point about Cincinnati in general sort of having this wealth of artistic riches. We also have this wealth of very philanthropic people. I mean, we're going into Procter & Gamble and Fifth Third and asking not just for corporate support, but for their employees to support the arts. And we help them to try and connect the dots. Even if they don't go, we're trying to sort of educate them on why it's important to support the arts. And they continue to do so. And they keep stepping up to the plate more and more and really just giving more every year, which is great.
Well, it's kind of like pistons, you know, going back and forth. The connection between the arts community and the business community. You know, we create this engaging environment in which, you know, great companies like Procter & Gamble and GE, Macy's are trying to attract the very, very best talent. You know, trying to lure them from either coast here into the great Midwest. And it's because of the quality of life that we have here that the arts create. And so, you know, an investment in ArtsWave is not just an investment in the arts, it's an investment in ourselves.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Macy's, because Macy's Art Sampler has come up several times, that's March 7th and 8th, right, Rebecca?
That's right, one weekend this year.
I want you to tell me all about it.
So Macy's Art Sampler, this is our 29th year. It is our free arts festival with every conceivable arts, belly dancing to puppets to symphony orchestra concert. It's all packed into one weekend, and it's all free thanks to our friends at Macy's. This is a really unique program and an opportunity to see and sample just a little bit of everything. Most performances are 30 to 45 minutes. Many of them are in a single venue, so you can go to a venue and stay for a couple of hours. And you name it, you can find it at Macy's Art Sampler.
So, Mike, what happens exactly on Saturday? There's a bunch of specific events for that day, right?
There are. Saturday's kind of our out and about day.
All around town, isn't it?
Around town, yes. We're doing programming in the community art centers. We'll have programming at the Kennedy Heights Arts Center, up at the Oxford Community Arts Center, the Fairfield Community Arts Center. We'll be in the museums, the Art Museum and the Taft Museum specifically, because the CAC is still having some renovations done. So we sort of let them off the hook, although they're participating on Sunday in a different way. We'll be in the libraries across Northern Kentucky as well, and there's just all kinds of events going on.
And I'll be conducting My Cincinnati. Yes, there, at Music Hall.
On Sunday.
Yeah. And boy, those kids are fantastic. Yeah. I've got so much fun working with them, and they put in so much to it. It's obviously fantastic thrill to conduct the Cincinnati Pops at Music Hall. But when these kids get to look around and see the venue that they're performing in, the same venue that the great pros, perform in all the time, it's just takes you right over the top.
We were really excited this year when we received the proposal from My Cincinnati, and Laura has participated before, but it's usually been with a small group. That's Laura Jekyll, who runs the program. And this year, when we said we're basically taking over Music Hall on Sunday, because all of our programming on Sunday is in Music Hall, we will be in Corbett Tower, we will be up in the ballroom, we will be on the main stage. Laura requested if we could actually open the main stage prior to the symphony concert to allow the My Cincinnati kids to perform together, because it's so rare that they have a space big enough to accommodate all of them.
All their kids.
And I talked to the folks at the symphony, and they said, we'll make something work. And so we're really excited to have the kids come and give them this opportunity to perform in the beautiful Music Hall.
So, Rebecca, the idea behind the Art Sampler Weekend is just to let people know how much great stuff is going on in the world of arts in Cincinnati, right?
Absolutely. When we do surveys of our sampler audiences, we find that about 50% of them report that that's their first time in that arts venue or their first time seeing that particular arts organization. And about 90% of them report that they'll seek out more programming by that arts group or that they plan to return to that venue. So we really look at it as a way for people to get a taste, get excited, and then go find more.
John, Rebecca, and Michael, thanks for talking with us today.
What
a treat.
Thank you.
It was a treat as well. Cincinnati Pops Orchestra conductor John Morris Russell, Rebecca Brommels, ArtsWave Senior Director of Communications and Engagement, and Mike Boberg, Director of Signature Arts and Business Programs at ArtsWave. The Macy's Art Sampler Weekend takes place March 7th and 8th. For a complete rundown of events and to learn more about ArtsWave, visit their website, theartswave.org, or download the Macy's Art Sampler app.